from Longview, Texas.
Well, somebody say amen. A little girl was talking to her teacher about whales. The teacher said it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it was a very large mammal, its throat was very small. The little girl stated that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Irritated, the teacher reiterated that a whale could not swallow a human. It was physically impossible. The little girl said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. The teacher said, well, what if Jonah went to hell? The little girl said, well, then you ask him. Thank you. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Mark. The rest of the row will get it about Friday. Did you unplug your phone? Okay, good. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Mark chapter 16. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting me to come. It's an honor to be here. And, of course, I love your pastor. Appreciate him. And, Dave, that was a wonderful special. Thank you so much. And people need the Lord. And we've got to get the gospel message out. Dr. Hatch is in heaven now. And Dr. Hatch, I miss Dr. Hatch already. He's just one of a kind when it comes to this matter of soul winning. But we've got to carry it on. And how apropos for this morning about who's going to carry it on. And I thought that that was a wonderful tribute to those men. J.R. Faulkner, Dr. Lee Robertson's assistant pastor for all those years at Highland Park, went home to be with the Lord this week, as well as, of course, Dr. Hatch. And I can just imagine Dr. Rice and Dr. Hiles and Dr. Robertson and Dr. Hatch and all of them, and Dr. Rice and Brother Roloff and all of them. Dr. Roloff was one of a kind.
Yes,
no one like him. I preached with all of those men except for Oliver B. Green and Dr. Billington. So I happen to know those men, and my heart goes out to Mrs. Hatch. She's a wonderful lady. You pray for her if you would. Brother Hatch was in the Nashville airport, and he was passing out tracts, and he went in the restroom, and he started passing out tracts in the restroom. And then, the little doors there, the stalls there, well, he went and started throwing them underneath the door of the stall, and he said, read this. And one guy pushed it back, said, no, I don't think so. And go ahead, it won't hurt you. And guy pushed it back, said, no, I don't think so. And he said, no, go ahead, push it. He kept going back and forth. And so finally he walked outside, and one of the men that was in there in the stall happened to be Dr. John Rice. Dr. John Rice walked out with that track and had his glasses down like that, and he looked at Carl Hatch and said, I thought that was you, Carl. I thought that was you. And some wonderful stories I could tell you about Dr. Hatch at our place. But Mark chapter 16, please, and we're going to read verse 15 and 16, and that's all. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. If you have that, let's stand and stretch just for a moment here. Mark, please forgive me. My voice, for some reason, is starting to crack this morning. What's wrong? Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and verse 16. Do we have a... I forgot. Sorry. That's good. That's good. So you still know how to make it. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, it does not say that if you're not baptized, you'll be damned, because it says clearly, but he that believeth not shall be damned. God expects you to get baptized immediately when you get saved to identify with him so that we can carry the gospel to the rest of the world. But clearly, if you don't believe, that means that you're damned. I want to speak this morning on that subject, who shall be damned. I'm not using that word as the world would use it. They misuse Bible words, and they misuse our Lord's name. You live with it every day. I'm not using that word as a curse word. I'm using it as a Bible word. And this morning, this is very important, because 1 second after you die, you're going to wake up either in flames or walking on streets of gold. Once you die, you can't say, uh-oh, I better take care of this. So I want you to take your pencil and I want you to do something for me. I want you to write a question mark, and then I want you to write an exclamation point. When the sermon's over, I want you to circle one of those. Your eternity, either you are a question mark and you don't know, or you're an exclamation point and you know that 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 you're going to heaven. So, preacher, I don't think anybody can know that. If I were standing here, my four kids beside me, my wife standing beside me, my 10 grandchildren, and you asked me this morning, preacher, are you married? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. You know what my wife would do? She'd take a skillet and say, boy, I'm going to remind you that you're married now. If we can know where we live, our Social Security number, our zip code, our blood type, draft status, and everything that we know with all these things, with this short little life that we live. Most important thing is, where are you going to spend eternity? So I want to ask the question, and I want you to answer it. Who shall be damned? And let's pray. Father, help me now to help. I certainly want to be a blessing. I've not come to hurt. I've come to help. This is a dangerous thing to stand in another man of God's pulpit and preach to his people. It's an awesome responsibility. I love this man of God. I pray for him, as you know, Father, and I love him and love this church and excited about that 30, 40 acres they've got and the future of this ministry. But God, help me this morning to be a help. I don't want anybody leaving here being a question mark about their eternity. God, help me to help, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. 1 second after you die, you're going to either wake up and you're going to be on streets of gold, or you're going to be in fire. It's a sad, sad thing to stop and to think about people who have died and gone to hell. It's a thing that motivates me more than anything else, because my father-in-law died while I was holding his hand. And he died and went to hell, as far as I know. I was raised in an American Baptist denomination. I was never told about soul winning. I was never told about how to lead somebody to Christ. I was never instructed on how to do it. It wasn't until I met Dr. Hiles and Dr. Rice that I gained an understanding about my personal responsibility to tell people how to be saved. Before that, I did not know. I was always raised in a church. Well, if they want to get saved, they'll find the church house and they'll find the altar. And if they really want to get saved, they'll get saved at the altar. But the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible does not say y'all come. Preaching is always done somewhere else. This is Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. This is pulpiteering. This is perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry, for edifying or building up this body. That's what this time is for. But every once in a while, I think it's very wise if we stop and we just say, okay, who shall be damned? I think it's very wise for us. And if you're saved, you'll rejoice over your salvation this morning. Amen. You'll not complain because of a salvation message, but it'll be an exciting thing to know that you know that you know that you know that you know. But I'm fearful that if one out of the 12 was a Judas and on his way to hell, then you can't have a church this size, this great a number of people, without some church members being lost and on their way to hell. I was preaching one Sunday morning up north, and a teenager who had been there for years, he stood up in the middle of the invitation and began to scream. And he said, I'm not going to hell for you, pointed at me, or my mama, my daddy, or anybody, and ran down the altar and got saved. Amen. You see, this morning, you can fool the preacher, and you can fool the deacons, and you can fool your parents, but you can't fool God. And please, I beg you this morning, in all these years, I've held over 117 funerals and pastored. Most of them are younger than me. Very few of the people that I buried as a pastor, I pastored for 33 years, did I ever bury that was older than me. 3 weeks ago, my 57-year-old niece died in her sleep. Her husband rolled over to kiss her good morning, and she was cold and gone. You see, my friend, there is a heaven and there is a hell. Yeah. According to the Bible. Amen. And one of these days you're going to die. And one of these days your soul's going to be separated from your body, and it's either going to go to heaven or it's going to go to hell. Amen. And that's why it's important this morning that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that you're going to heaven when you die. Please listen carefully. There's one book in the Bible that's given to the subject almost totally. Many books in the Bible have a main thought. But there's one book in the Bible that's written to show us how to go to heaven when we die. And there's one chapter in that one book where there's more concentration of the way to heaven than any other chapter in the Bible. Are you ready? It's the book of John. And if you'll turn to John chapter 3 with me, please, you'll find this concentration here, very, very simple, two verses. John chapter 3, verse 17, the scripture says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You see, the Bible says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." The word damned there is a word similar to the word condemned. Damned or condemned. I was on a plane. I was flying to Chicago. I said to the guy next to me, "Where are you going?" He said, "To Chicago." I said, "Where are you going then?" He said, "Well, I'm going to work." I said, "Where are you going then?" He said, "I'm going to supper." I said, "Where are you going then?" He said, "I'm going home." I said, "Where are you going then?" He looked at me and he said, "You know, I'm going to bed." I said, "Where are you going then?" He said, "You know, fella, the only way this is going to end is with me dying." And I said, "Where are you going then?" Now I'm going to tell you what the man said. The man said, "I'll be damned if I know." And I said, "Sir, no, you'll be damned if you do not believe." Yes, that's right. Please, this morning, I beg you, this is so important. Now here's the gospel. The gospel is this: God was condemned. This is the gospel now. God was damned for you and for me in our place. That's the gospel. God was damned in your place and in my place. Let me give you just some simple points this morning. Number one, God made man in the Garden of Eden, and man was not condemned. When God made man, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, they were not condemned. And by the way, we've got this bad conception of what sin is. Sin, and this may shock you a little bit, but sin is not adultery. Sin is not pornography, and sin is not getting drunk. Because in the Garden of Eden, there were no Playboy magazine, no Penthouse magazine. There was no tavern, but there was sin. What was sin? Sin was rebellion. If you read Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 and following, you'll find that works are manifested as adultery and so on. Which means that when you rebel against God, that's sin. What does it do? It manifests itself in all these acts of the flesh or works of the flesh. God said to Adam and Eve, "Boy, this garden here is all yours. You can have and enjoy it and have a good time." But he said, "There's one tree I don't want you to touch." And Eve said, "Which one was that?" And she went ahead, and Adam was not blind, the Bible says. He was not deceived. Adam knew what he was doing. He didn't want to be separated from Eve. That's the power you women have over a man. And don't look so innocent, ladies, because there's a horn holding your halo up this morning. So because of that, then there was sin. Now, wait a minute now. Sin was rebellion. So man was not condemned. He was given the Garden of Eden. He was not condemned. Number two, man sinned, and with it came damnation. So when man turned around and sinned against God in rebellion, and then that rebellion turned into an act, then let me tell you something. Man became condemned, or damnation came because of the act of man. Don't you blame your mama and your daddy, and don't you blame society. Don't you blame anybody around you. You're a sinner because you chose to do so. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not a matter of our comparing ourselves one to another. I can pick a dud out here and make me look good. But compared to God, we're all in trouble. Compared to God, we've come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners by nature. You may not be as bad and near as bad sinners as this preacher, but compared to God, we're both in trouble. I said, number one, God made man in the Garden of Eden, and man was not condemned at all. Number two, man sinned, and with it came the damnation or the condemnation. Statement number three, God decided then to become condemned or damned in our place. We were given the Garden of Eden, said, here, it's yours. Do what you want to. Have a great life. But man decided to rebel against God. And when man rebelled against God, then the act of sin took place. When the act of sin took place, then condemnation came, or damnation. And then what was God's response? If you read it in John chapter 3 and verse 17 with me, the Bible says that God decided to be condemned or damned in our place. What did God do? God went to Calvary. What did he do? He suffered our damnation. What did he do? He dipped his soul into hell and paid our debt. How did he do it? I don't know. But he was resurrected with the keys of death and hell, and he paid that debt that you and I owe. You see, it'd be like your landlord showing up and you're standing there and you owed $500 rent, and the landlord said, ante up. And if I were standing there and I had it, I said, come on, I'll pay it. And you said, no, preacher, I'll pay it. And I said, no, let me pay it. And we argue. That landlord's going to go like this back and forth, because the truth is he does not care who pays it as long as it's paid. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You're a sinner. And God says, you want to pay for it? You can. You want Jesus to pay for it? You can. You want to pay for it? And God says, somebody's got to pay. But you better decide before you die. Because after you die, you can't do anything about it. So God gives you the option of letting Jesus pay for it. And by the way, if you go to hell, you'll never get out, because you can never pay. Jesus paid. How did he do it? I don't know. But it was a miraculous thing how Jesus paid that debt, the penalty of sin, which is hell. The wages of sin is what? Death. The Bible does not say the wages of sin is baptism. The Bible doesn't say the wages of sin is joining a church. The Bible doesn't say the wages of sin is a good name. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So in Romans 5:8, the Bible says Christ died for us. Doesn't say he was baptized for us. Doesn't say he went to church for us. Doesn't say he became a Baptist for us. But he died for us, because that's the price for damnation. I said, number one, and it's very important that you understand that man was made and he was not condemned. Man's sin rejected God, rebelled against God, and became damned, condemned and damned. God decided to be condemned. In John 3:17, then the scripture says in John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, because we were already condemned, but that the world through him might be saved. God decided to be condemned in your place. So there's two groups of people in this room. You're either that question mark, do not know. Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up, darling. But that question mark, oh, where am I? That question mark of I don't know. Preacher, I'm being honest about it. If I died right now, I do not know that I'd go to heaven. And there are others in this room say, I know. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't remember the date, but I remember where I was. I may not remember all of that, but I do know where I was. I was at 132 East Michigan Avenue, Galesburg, Michigan. My preacher got through preaching on hell on a Sunday night, and I went home and said to my mama, Mama, I'm going to hell. My mama began to cry, and she said, Son, listen to this carefully, what she said. You don't have to. God has made a provision, so you don't have to go to hell. And my mama said to me, she's 97 years of age, lives in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. But she said to me over and over again, I wish I'd gone in that room with you. But I went in that bedroom, shut that door, got on my knees, and asked Jesus Christ to save me. My salvation is not based on getting baptized, not based on joining a church, not based on doing that which is right. My salvation is based on the fact, in childlike faith, I said, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. And that blood of Jesus Christ was applied to my soul, and I was cleansed. I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. And by the way, you're not perfect. So if you just sit around and say, well, I'll tell you, if that's the way Christians are, then I'm going to heaven just as much as they are. It's not based on what goes on the outside. It's what happens on the inside. Jesus shed his blood so that your soul could be cleansed from all sin. The payment was paid. I'm so great. The church, you're so good to me. I'm in a motel over there, in a nice motel, and the fire alarm went off at 5 o'clock this morning. And I appreciate that. And I found out that it happened to Russell Anderson. And it was the same toaster that went off while he was here last week that went off today. And it went off at the same time that his went off. And I was walking in the hallway, and everybody was scurrying. And I said, man, what a soul-winning opportunity. And I said to a guy beside me, I said, is this the end of the world? And the guy looked at me and said, no, it's the toaster downstairs. And went off. And so, it ruined the whole thing. You know, I was going to Make a monumental statement here, you know. But wait a minute, you paid for that room. Now what if I go home and mess that room up? It's still paid for. If you mess your life up, it's still paid, your soul's still paid for. My last name is Gray. Suppose I go out and rob a bank this afternoon while I'm in Ravenna. Ravenna. Somebody said, don't say Ravenna, say Ravenna. Am I right?
Yep.
Ravenna. I'm in Ravenna. And suppose I go rob a bank this afternoon, get caught, get thrown into jail. They call my 97-year-old mother in Murfreesboro, said, your son just robbed a bank, he's in jail. She comes to Ravenna, Ohio, and she goes down to jail and she visits me. She says, son, what have you done? And I say, Mama, the offerings are down. I had to do something. And my mama looks at me and says, you're no longer my son. You're a disgrace to the Gray name. You're no longer my son. And she walks away. Let me ask you a question. What was my name when I robbed the bank? Gray. What was my name when I was thrown in jail? What was my name when my mama walked away from me? Gray. It doesn't change. You can't unborn anything. It goes against the laws of God. Now, I say to you this morning, if you trusted Christ, then you're that exclamation point. But if you don't have some time in your life when you can close your eyes and see a mental picture of where you were when you trusted Jesus Christ to pay for your sins, then, my friend, you're a question mark. And who shall be damned? Those who do not know that they know that they know that they know. You say, well, how do you know? Write this down. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Somewhere you have a marriage certificate, that's how you know you're married. Somewhere you have a birth certificate, that's how you know that you were born. Everything you have in life is in some written form somewhere to prove whatever you want, statement you want to make to someone else. Well, I say to you, if you're going to heaven this morning, here it is. Here's your birth certificate. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what's written in the book. I just placed my name in there. I called on the Lord. If you call on me, I can't help you. But you call on the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the power and the blood to cleanse. Come on, somebody help me now. Amen. To cleanse you of all sin.
Yep.
You say, preacher, how in the world will I know if I look at John 3:18? The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Can I borrow the song leader, please? Would you come up here just for a minute, if you would? Come on up here. And I want you to put one foot on the floor and one foot on that chair. All right, that word believe there is a word which means to roll upon or to put your complete faith upon. If I said to him, this chair will hold you up, but he kept one foot on the floor and another foot on the chair, he does not believe that this chair will hold him up. Come on, somebody help me now. James 2:18, the devils believe and tremble. So if you're here this morning, say, well, I believe in Jesus and I believe in God. There's a vast difference between that and you putting your whole weight down upon Jesus' shed blood as being the only hope for heaven for you.
Amen.
Now stand on. Do you believe that chair holds you?
I believe whatever you tell me.
You believe whatever I tell you? I've sized you up. I don't believe it'll hold you. But stand up. Stand up on it. Stand up on it. A guy loses 5 pounds. Shut up. A guy loses 5 pounds and the whole world's fat, you know? Now, that is belief. That is putting all your weight down. Do you realize what I did at age 11? Do you realize what I excluded from my hope for heaven? I excluded baptism. I excluded living a good life. I excluded having to be a member of a church. I excluded doing more good than bad. I excluded everything. I'm living on one little thin string of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm depending on that. My entire hope is based upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's my faith. My faith is not in this church. My faith is not in this preacher. My faith, come on, help me now. My faith is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Christ, and I put all my weight upon it. That is an exclamation point. That, put one foot down there, that's a question mark. Well, I hope I make it. I think I'll make it. I'm not a bad guy. I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen much. You know, I kind of have a question. If you people are working your way to heaven, how much do you have to do?
Yes.
I was sitting in class, and she's now my wife, but we're sitting in biology class in high school, and I was in the American Baptist. I didn't know about soul winning, but I just asked her about going to heaven, and boy, she lit out on me and let me know in a heartbeat. She was a Catholic and proud of it, and I said, what's that got to do with it? I said, are you going to heaven? And she got mad at me again, and I said, well, then you tell me how you know you're going to heaven. She wrote all this stuff down, and then I drew a line. When she got all, I said, are you through? I said, well, I think I am. I drew a line. I said, okay, so if I do all these things, this will do it. She said, No, no. And so she started adding some more things. And I said, okay, drew a line. I said, come on now, we got to stop somewhere. I'm getting old. And that was funny, folks. And drew a line there. And she said, I said, so that's it, right? That's it, right? That's it, right? And she said, well, no, I'll go to my priest. I'll find out. So she came back with seven more things down there, you know. And I drew a line. I said, so that's it now. That it. And she said, no. And she said, all right, smarty pants. She said, what do you tell me? What do I got to do to go to heaven? I wrote down Jesus.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Hey, somebody shout amen. Amen. If I had a son that had run away from home and became a prodigal and got away from me, I would want him back. I would not make it hard for him to come back. I would make it easy for him to come back. And God's not put an obstacle course in front of you to try and make it hard for you to go to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, preacher, what about falling from grace? Wait a minute. Okay, let me answer. Let's suppose that I'm dating a girl named Grace. Let's suppose I get engaged. I'm single. I get engaged to Grace, and my heart is thumping, and I love Grace, and I can't wait to get to Grace. And so finally, one day, I grab a ladder and a suitcase, and I go over to Grace's house. I throw the ladder up against the house, and I go up, and I tap on her window. She comes to the window. My heart is pounding. I can't wait to marry her. She's the love of my life. And I say, Grace, I can't wait for the wedding day. Let's run away. Come on, get your suitcase, girl. Let's go. We're going to elope. And the window's open, and she takes her foot, and she pushes on the ladder, and she pushes me away from the house. Ladies and gentlemen, I am falling from grace. I never got to grace. Come on, somebody say amen to me. Now, you laugh at all you want to, but once saved, always saved is in the Bible. You take everlasting life and eternal life out of the book of John, look like I've been peppered with a shotgun. Come on, somebody say amen. I have a question for you. Are you a question mark? Or are you an exclamation point on this? If I asked you, you're married, you would say, oh, yeah, sorry, exclamation, yep, that's it. So you know where you live? Yep, that's it. You know the names of your children? Yep. He's talking about Alzheimer's. My wife said to the doctor, said, I couldn't find my car keys. Do I have Alzheimer's? He said, no, it's when you don't know whether you have a car or not. That's when you're in trouble. If you have Alzheimer's, at least you can have your own Easter egg hunt. Okay. Read the same paper every day, you know. Amen. Or you could be married to a blonde and park in handicap zones all the time. Hey, I'm not worried. We done took the offering up. You're not going to live forever, and one of these days you're going to die, and death's going to come. I got the report about 5 weeks ago that I had cancer. My bladder. Doctor says about the size of a half dollar on the inside wall of my bladder. I started getting phone calls and text messages, and I mean, I got it from all over the world. I think the Pope contacted me. And I went to preach after that, and people would look at me and they'd say, are you okay? Hey, I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. By the way, they did surgery on it, and they did a biopsy and found out it was not malignant, it was benign. Amen. But I've got to be checked every year now. Hey, I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. Where are you going? Are you a question mark or an exclamation point? Only you know. Please, this is not a matter of fooling everybody around you. Because, buddy, when they lay you out in that box here, it's over. I know this isn't a very popular subject. You know, let's get together, have a party, and let's talk about death. But I know it's not very popular, but let's be honest with ourselves. You've known people in the last few weeks or months that have died and shocked you. It absolutely shocked you. You better be at peace with God. And know that you know that you know that you know. Thank you very much. Our heads are bowed. Everyone standing. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. We're not going to sing, but we are going to have an invitation. The pianist is going to come. The musicians are going to come. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Please, please listen carefully. We love you this morning. We care about your soul. You're not going to find this type of concern on the job tomorrow. You're not going to find this type of concern at school tomorrow, but you're going to find it in God's house. Listen carefully. You will only get one, two, at the most, three clear opportunities in your life to get saved. Most of your life is going to be spent in trying to make a living and take care of your family. Listen to me. I want you to stop and think about how many times you've been stopped in public and said, "Sir, if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven?" I want you to think about that. Because you're only going to get one, two, or three clear opportunities. That's all. Is this it for you? Are you going to go on about your life and no one ever draw this to your attention again? This morning, I don't believe it's a mistake that God laid this on my heart to preach this here this morning. If you were the only person that ever lived and ever sinned, Jesus would still have come and died for you. He loves you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you do not know for sure that you're going to heaven, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to picture where you are, those of you that are saved. I want you to picture where you were when you trusted Christ. I want you to picture, was it an altar? Was it in the living room? Was it in the pastor's office? Was it maybe in a school or walking down the street? But in your mind's eye, you see, you may not remember the day, but you remember where you were when you got saved. You see it? Now this morning, if you do not see and you say, "Preacher, I don't know, if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I do not want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell." Will you right now admit that you're a sinner? Go ahead and admit it. We're all sinners. And will you admit right now that only Jesus Christ can cleanse you of all sin, not to make you perfect, but to get the debt paid? Will you right now realize your only hope is Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection? And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," not maybe, but for sure. Now, right where you are, if you want to open your heart and you want to invite Jesus Christ in and that shed blood to be cleansed, to cleanse your soul, I'm going to pray a simple little sinner's prayer. And would you, right where you are, would you pray that prayer? Prayer doesn't save, it's communication. But would you ask Jesus? He's not going to force his way in. He's a perfect gentleman. But if you'll open your heart this morning, invite him in. He's not going to make you perfect, but get you forgiven. Will you pray this prayer? Not out loud, but in your heart, would you pray this? "Dear Jesus, have mercy on my soul. Jesus, I now trust you and your shed blood to cleanse me of all sin. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you prayed that prayer sincerely, inviting Christ into your heart, would you very quietly, right where you are, raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I did that. I did that." Hold it up high, way up high. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. Hold it up. Hold it up high, way up high. Way up high. Wonderful. 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 You may put your hands down. Now, Father, I pray you bless this invitation, those who did not but should have. Thank you for the ones who did. And I pray they'd not be ashamed of you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Look this way. Now everybody look this way. Please look this way. Pastor, would you come and stand to the front if you would? And pastors, if you'll help us. Here's what I want you to do. You raised your hand and said yes to Jesus Christ. You trusted Him, that blood, to cleanse you of all sin. I want you to do something. He's not ashamed of you. He was crucified in front of a whole world. So if you said yes to Jesus Christ, I want you, when we begin the invitation, and Christians, I want you to come and make it easy for folks to come this morning. We want them to know it's okay at this church to use the altar. It's all right here. It's all right. It's okay here. So don't stand there and look at me when we begin this invitation. Let's make it easy for people to come. And by the way, you've not been that good. You're guilty of something. Oh, yeah. Let me hang around for a while. I'll find out about it. So if you said yes to Jesus, the pastor's here. I want you, don't be ashamed of it. You raised your hand, said yes to Jesus. I want you to come and I want you to take him by the hand and said, "I said yes to Jesus Christ." And don't be ashamed of it. But Christians, I want you to help me now. The altar's down here. I want you to come right now while the pianist plays. Come on, right now. Come on. Thank you. be ashamed of him. Now, if you've trusted Christ and not been baptized, you come. Come on. Come on. Come on. There's the pastor. Yeah, come on. Don't say no, but identify yourself with him. If you've been saved, you identify yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I got married, they asked me to put a ring on. It wouldn't have been much of a marriage if I said, well, I don't mind marrying you, but I'm not going to wear your ring. That wouldn't be much of a marriage. And you'll not have much of a salvation and service for God if you distance yourself from the Savior. Identify with him. Identify with him. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Come on, it's not too late. Come on, come on. If you're not saved, you come to the Savior. One of these days will be the last invitation. One of these days will be the last time the pianist will play and invitation will be given. One of these days will be the last time a preacher stands up and pleads for your soul. And my friend, you're not going to have but one, two, or three clear opportunities to trust Christ. That's all. You'll be busy when you leave here. You'll be busy trying to make a living and try to take care of your family. Come on, take advantage of it now. Come on. Come on to Christ. Come on to Christ. Come on. These others are not ashamed of him. You come. Don't be ashamed of him yourself. Come on. Come on. Come to Christ. Well, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Bible says they're shouting in heaven over one sinner that repents. At least you could give a grin. Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. I remember one time Brother House preached a sermon, take your mask off. It was one of the most powerful messages I ever heard in my life. Take your mask off. Now look, folks, life is too short. It's too short. This is no time to play games. This is reality. This is no time to fool around. You know, I'm 63 and I feel like, I still feel like I'm 16. I don't feel 63. Don't feel 63 at all. But that's how fast time will go, and time will, pretty soon you'll say to yourself, you'll look in the mirror and say, who is that? I don't recognize that person. Please take care of it now. Please trust Christ. Let's bow our heads. Our heads are bowed and I want you to pray. And if you need to come, please slip on out and come, would you?
This young man, everyone's getting baptized. Would you get baptized today, sir? You trusted Christ as your Savior. Come on ahead. We'll baptize you right now. Amen. Praise God. Brother Eddie, bring him right back. Praise God. Isn't that exciting? Amen. 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 That's Sonny. Sonny Wiseman. Praise God. Streetsboro, Ohio, Bobby. Gerald Avenue, Streetsboro. God bless you, Sonny. You know what? We're gonna have one more verse. Maybe you'd like to be saved. You can be saved right now. Maybe you've been saved, never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Come right on this verse. So lead us in one verse, Brother Mark. You'd like to come, you come. Whatever, how God would speak to your heart. Yes. Jamie? You want to come, you come. You just come. Make that decision today. Make that decision. Decide today for eternity. You never regret it. Here comes a young lady right here, Pastor. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You can come. You can come. You can come. You can come right now. Miss Betty. Betty, there's another lady here. Amen. You can come. Just come right now. Just come. That's right. Just come. Maybe you've already been saved, but you've never been baptized. Let us do it today. Let's get it all taken care of today. Well, glory to God. Amen. All right, why don't you be seated? We'll wait for the baptisms. Can you get a picture of Rick later today on that spinning that wheel and the visitors that he brought? Because I told Dr. Anderson I'd send those pictures to him on that wheel. Sure. That wheel.
I could take it, email it to him.
Okay, that'd be great.
I think he brought to get baptized the same.
Yeah, that's tremendous. Amen. Who wants to give a testimony for the Lord? Anyone want to give a testimony? Yes. Isn't it exciting? Amen. God bless you, Marie. Amen. Yes, David. Rick? Yeah. Did you want to say something, Brother Rick? Oh, okay. David.
I sentiment what you said because I've heard two of the greatest preachers in 2 weeks that God has ever put on the face of the earth. Dr. Man. Anderson and Dr.
Amen.
And it's not because of what they've done, it's because of what God has done through them.
Yes. Amen.
And I'm so glad that God has saved me. I'm a member of the choir. I love everybody. And this is one of the greatest preachers right here. Standing right here.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you, David. Brother Jack, thank you, David. Amen. God bless you, Brother Jack. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Raise your hand. If I don't see you, just let me see your hand. Okay.
Ready, preacher?
Here we are ready. This young man just came and got saved.
Amen.
Rick brought him.
Brian, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with him in baptism. Risen to walk.
Amen. Woo! These are the real people. Yeah. Yeah. I'll get them out here. There's another one. Isn't God good?
All right, this is Kathy. Hi. Kathy, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with him in baptism, risen to walk.
Amen. The fellow that brought him is an RU. He hasn't drank for 8 months. He's recovering and he's bringing people to Christ.
Amen.
There's Sonny.
This is Sonny.
Amen.
Sonny, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with him in baptism.
I think that one lady, she's going to get baptized too, isn't she? Now, she has a little bit of a handicap. There's one thing. Really careful, Pastor Dave.
No pressure.
Okay, amen.
You deserve it.
How many's going to come back tonight? 6 o'clock. Bring some visitors. Bring visitors. You know, if you bring that family member, you never can get saved. They might get saved tonight. This is Tammy. Tammy was saved here, baptized here. Tammy's come to diagnose her with cancer. Again today, she said, "Preacher, Pastor Dave already baptized me." Okay. He's trying to run her through again. That's special. Dr. Grab never met this lady either. This is a lot of these are first time visitors. Mike Sell, last week.
name of Chief Father, Lord, and Believer's Baptism.
Amen.
And Brother Mike, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, just come to you, just thanking you for dying on the cross, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, just may each one of us never forget that walk that you had carrying that cross.
Yes.
Lord, I just thank you for that Holy Spirit, Lord, coming down and touching these people today, Lord, and may that Holy Spirit just continue to work, Lord. Lord, thank you for Dr. Gray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit ran through him, Lord. Lord, just be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord. Bring us back.